Now, hopefully, and I mean hopefully, because we've been talking about a lot, you've heard that 2SER is working with The Guardian for a brand new podcast series called Common Ground. Now, each episode brings together four very, very different Australians, and we'll get some in conversation about the reality of the political issues that matter to them. It's helmed by journalist Lenore Taylor and social researcher Rebecca Huntley. Rebecca joins me now. A very good morning.
Hi, Nick. Good morning.
I want to talk about this idea that we are at a unique stage of division in politics, because it feels to me, and I say this very colloquially in a way, that we are more divided than ever as a nation. Am I just paying attention? Am I just seeing it in different ways? Or is this genuinely new?
Look, I certainly think that the commentary in the media and in politics feels more divisive. So it almost feels like one thing that I think is really clear over the last 10 years of my research is that people feel like we are always on election footing.
Mm.
So that both sides of politics are fighting it out in a way that you might normally do in an election. So quite personal, quite strategic constantly. Now, it may be that that's because there's more and more media opportunities to have those kinds of fights. And I think that's certainly the case. You've got 24-hour news, you've got social media. So the kind of battleground has, the media battleground has expanded. And so I suppose from a public's point of view, public attitudes change slowly.
Mm.
You know, they really, really do. Sometimes there are things that accelerate public attitudes, like moments but it's very rare that you see in you know 12 or 13 months or 2 years suddenly massive divisions form. So I think that we have the perception that we're more divisive, and it's a bit of a circular argument.
Yeah.
It actually creates more division. So like I said, you know, the battle, you know, the kind of pitched battles on Twitter, social media, but also in question time. So it always feels like our leaders, whether they be in the media or in politics, are just constantly fighting it out.
Is the fact that, and you mentioned Twitter and Facebook and sort of other social media platforms, the fact that we have such easy access to these broadcast platforms, is that changing the kind of nature of those divisions and the way that we debate them?
And look, I think there are good and bad things about this. So in you know, if you look at something like Indigenous X, you know, the Twitter for Indigenous X, so there's an opportunity for a myriad of Indigenous voices very easily to get access to a platform, which, you know, 20 years ago they would not be. It would have been many more barriers for them to do that. So there's good things and there's bad things about it. I suppose what was interesting and what really compelled Lenore and I to think about this podcast is where is the public discussion, the real public discussion, not the people that are active on Twitter. And let's face it, most Australians are. Australians, you know, we might have millions of Australians on Twitter, but in terms of people actively engaged in Twitter conversation, that's not the majority of Australians. And we might all have a Facebook, you know, Facebook, you know, presence, but a lot of us are just stalking our ex-boyfriends and seeing how fat they got and, you know, putting photos of our kids on Halloween.
Yeah, letting so, Nan know we're
exactly,
okay.
Exactly, yeah. Those kinds of things. So what we really, and I suppose it came from, you know, Lenore's concern around making sure that The Guardian, which is unashamedly, you know, on the left of politics, and to make sure that they weren't in the bubble so much. Like, what are the real conversations happening out there? And me as a social researcher the last 12 years, that's all I've done is travel Australia, sit in people's lounge rooms and listen to them. And so what's been really clear is that the kinds of divisions that exist in politics, and often the kinds of stoppages around things like, let's say, marriage equality or investment in renewables, you just don't really get them from the public. Like, the public are pretty much on board with renewables. They think it's like, whether they believe in climate change or not, they think that's the future. It makes sense to invest there. They've been on board with marriage equality for some time, or either don't really care and are happy to let it happen. They're either advocates or kind of, you know, apathetic about it. So what we were trying to do is get four very different Australians to say, well, where does the conversation naturally come to? Where are the overlaps of agreement and where are the points of conflict?
Well, I want to go back to the bubble in a little bit, but I mean, that's interesting to me because, you know, whenever there's a disaster or something big happens, politicians stand up and say, we're united as a nation, you know, we're all Australians all together. How accurate is that? Are you finding common ground?
Well, look, when there's a natural disaster, I would say that Australians are pretty good at coming together, whether it be to volunteer or give money. When there's something like an incident like the siege at the Link Cafe,
yeah.
To say we're united as a nation may not necessarily always be the case. I mean, I think we're united in empathy and we're united in concern, but how we read that event is very different and what we think we should do in relation to that event is very different.
Very interesting.
And certainly when you spend any time with not just Australians from Muslim backgrounds, but Australians who feel they even look Muslim. I've spent time with Christian Lebanese people who say if there is a terrorist incident in the world, they steel themselves for discrimination because they look Muslim, even though they're not. And they also don't want to say, don't hate me, I'm not Muslim, because they don't want to do it. So, you know, we do, there's moments when we're united, and sometimes united in relief or united in, disgust, or united in a sense of solidarity and that something needs to be done. But there are other times, other events, which really do, we react very differently and we think that solutions to those events are very different.
Let's jump back to the bubble, because I'm about to sound so...
Jump back in the bubble.
Well, I'm about to sound so naive, but when I first realised that that bubble existed, I was actually at the Town Hall Hotel, Newtown Townie. I was watching the last election that featured John Howard, and he had just won by a landslide.
Yes.
And I was flabbergasted because I didn't know a single person who was going to vote for him.
Yeah, yeah.
How could I have been so out of touch with the rest of Australia? And it sounds so naive now, but in that kind of social media days, you really did think that your group held a very understandable opinion that may have related exactly back to the rest of Australia.
Yeah, and I suppose this is where, you know, this is something that, you know, we're all, the idea that it's just the left that are in a bubble or the left that are the snowflakes is a joke, and everybody's in a bubble. And to tell you the truth, in the research that I've done with, you know, people who aren't in the media or aren't in politics, you know, people, I hate the term ordinary Australians, but like, you know, citizens.
Yeah.
They themselves recognise, you know, that they often kind of quite reflective and say, well, you know, I only really know my world and my neighbourhood and my kids, and maybe it's different somewhere else. So we, interestingly, Australians aren't, while we're very, very connected through the internet and we're, you know, early adopters of technology and very active, for example, Twitter in Australia is the most active political space across Twitter. In fact, hashtag AusPoll, I think, is the most popular Twitter hashtag. Yeah.
Wow.
So Twitter for Australia, I mean, you know, this is pre-Trump as well, as has always been very political. So we've, you know, really high uptake of social media platforms of technology, but we don't move around as much as we think we do. You know, people in Sydney and Melbourne don't even move from one part. You know, to almost to cross the bridge feels like, you know, crossing the Nullarbor. So we're not necessarily, and socially to, as well, in terms of the diversity of who we interact with. So this is a privilege of social research. You know, I'm paid to get out of the bubble and to meet different people. As a result, no election result is a massive surprise to me. I mean, sometimes the margin is a bit of a surprise. So sometimes I think it'll be a comfortable win and it's not. And I think we're now in a period of political volatility that's almost unprecedented. And Australia's been a pretty stable democracy, pretty boringly stable democracy.
Yeah.
Now, who knows? You know, we've got politicians who can't read the Constitution. We've got, you know, so many prime ministers, it's hard to keep a flowchart, you know. So I think that, you know, in the particular kind of media landscape we're in, the ability, and this has been something that's only really been, I've been acutely aware of in the last couple of years, the ability now to block out any information that is unpalatable or uncomfortable to you, you know. So your friends on Facebook tell you what to read. You block people whose opinions, you know, in fact, may be really offensive to you probably and threatening, but also that you don't want to listen to. So the combination of the fact that we often live in particular kinds of communities where we want to be around people with, you know, the same values or the same social background, and we're able to create a media, an information bubble around us that makes us feel comfortable, means that where are the kind of foundational places to meet or talk or get information. It's a real. It's why the ABC is remains so important, so absolutely critical.
Yeah, absolutely.
To the media environment.
Now, just finally, with the podcast, we talk a lot about it giving an unfiltered access to the opinions of, you know, these four very different Australians. That was interesting to me because I don't often think about the filters that I'm already seeing. But, of course, once information's out there in the media, it's gone through a lot of analysis, a lot of filtering.
Yeah. And, look, I think that there was some really – I mean, the team – allow me for a moment to do a big shout-out to the 2SER team.
There was
a fantastic 2SER team who helped produce it and worked with the different participants because they were kind of – we were dealing with them remotely because they were in different parts of Australia. You know, there is a really fine line between, you know, some of the views of the people on the podcast may be views that 2SER listeners in particular might find problematic. So attitudes to Muslims and immigration and
same-sex marriage
to Indigenous reconciliation and all those kinds of things. So it's a very, you know, it's a really important ethical and moral question about to what extent are we giving a platform to views that we think already have a platform out there in stronger, you know, in much more powerful media environments. But also, to what extent are we missing an opportunity to really honestly listen to people without shutting them down and then try and find a way to challenge and engage that is as respectful as possible? Now, for some people, that's not possible, but we found participants who really weren't the kinds of people who were there just they weren't there to troll anybody, right? So it was a really, and we had lots and lots of long conversations, you know, about, you know, what do we, how do we present this material in a way that, you know, we asked for the views of these people, and so we needed to allow those views to be heard in a way that that was honest but then didn't perpetuate too much the kinds of views that are, you know, you'll hear the Alan Joneses and the Ray Hadleys of the world talk about on a daily basis. So it's a really, I mean, again, the other, I have to call out to The Guardian, it could have been easy for them to just do another podcast where everybody violently agreed about all these issues and, you know, sat around doing a podcast, two people in constant mutual agreement for, you know, 30 minutes. But we thought this was worth trying.
Well, it has definitely been worth listening to. Rebecca Huntley, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.